it. There's only three times, at least in the New American Standard, in the New Testament, that that word faithfulness comes up in the English. So I was like, that's interesting. Of course, the idea of faith comes up a lot, all throughout Scripture, both Old and New Testament. So kind of not necessarily look at the word faithfulness, that whole word that comes up in the fruit of the Spirit. And even if you have a different translation and you've memorized the fruit of the Spirit, some translations have it as simply faith. And so they're kind of used interchangeably throughout Scripture. But I want to start with just kind of the idea of some definitions, and these are from the Holman Illustrated Bible Dictionary. There it says, the English noun faithfulness denotes trustworthiness or dependability. Throughout the Scriptures, faith is the trustful human response to God's self-revelation via His words and His actions. The Hebrew word for faith, aman, is a root word that denotes reliability, stability, and firmness. Faith, as we see it in the New Testament, is a personal, trustful response to God's self-revelation. And so it's a response to what we see in Scripture about God. Matthew 23:23 is the one of the times where that word faithfulness comes up. It says, woe to you, scribes and Pharisees, hypocrites, for you tithe mint and dill and cumin, and have neglected the weightier provisions of the law, justice and mercy and faithfulness. Paul uses it also in Romans 3:3. He says, what then? If some did not believe, their unbelief will not nullify the faithfulness of God, will it? And then, of course, Galatians 5:22 with the list of the fruit of the Spirit. And so I thought what we would do here this evening is look at Hebrews chapter 11. We're just going to look at verses 1 through 7. Really, we could look through the whole chapter, and I'd encourage you even throughout the week maybe to read all of Hebrews chapter 11, remind yourself of what we see here of people living by faith. But we're going to concentrate on the first 7 verses, so I'm going to read those. I ask you to follow along. Hebrews 11, 1, it says, now faith is the assurance of things hoped for, the conviction of things not seen. For by it the men of old gained approval. By faith we understand that the worlds were prepared by the word of God, so that what is seen was not made out of things which are visible. By faith Abel offered to God a better sacrifice than Cain, through which he obtained the testimony that he was righteous, God testifying about his gifts, and through faith, though he is dead, he still speaks. By faith, Enoch was taken up so that he would not see death, and he was not found because God took him up. For he obtained the witness that before his being taken up, he was pleasing to God. And without faith, it is impossible to please him. For he who comes to God must believe that he is, and that he is a rewarder of those who seek him. By faith, Noah, being warned by God about things not yet seen, in reverence prepared an ark for the salvation of his household, by which he condemned the world and became an heir of the righteousness which is according to faith. And so let's pause and ask God to work in our hearts through his word. Lord, we ask now that you would help us as we consider the faithfulness of these saints of old. Lord, may we not be discouraged thinking that we cannot have this level of faith. May we understand that it comes not because of who we are, but because of who you are. And Lord, may we have a great understanding of that. May you work in our hearts. May we have such a confidence in who you are, that it comes out as we live each day to please you. It's in Christ's name we pray. Amen. True Bible faith is considered confident obedience to God's word in spite of circumstances and consequences. And I was considering actually looking at this psalm, but Psalm 89 is really good. If you want to do a study just of God's faithfulness, The word faithfulness comes up 7 or 8 times in that psalm. And I decided not to do that, but I think maybe later in the year, Psalm 89 is going to come up. So I decide not to do that here this evening, but rather Hebrews 11. But I think Psalm 89 is going to come up later. So I'd encourage you to read through that through this week as well. But we're here in Hebrews 11, verses 1 through 3. We see by faith we can be confident in God. Really, he's the only one we can be confident in. He's the only one that gives confidence. It's not because of us, it's because of him. First of all, the first part of verse 1, we can be confident in the future. We can be confident in the future. What hasn't taken place yet? Our faith should give us confidence to calm our heart. Now, the author is going to describe here what faith does and how faith works. In the New Testament, faith toward God responds to that which God has revealed verbally and actively in Jesus Christ. And so we've been working through the Gospel of Luke. We see the life of Christ and what that looks like. And that should really result in a faith that's taking place in our own life as we see what Jesus Christ is teaching and what he is doing. Faith is something that will give us confidence. That word assurance means a foundation or confidence or realization. The most literal translation here for where it says in verse 1 of chapter 11, now faith is the assurance. The most literal way of translating that word assurance is to stand under or to support. So we think of faith as the support that we need for our lives. Our faith should keep us looking forward to what God has in store. So what does our faith afford us to have confidence in? We can have confidence in the things that we're hoping will happen, but we must understand that biblical hope is not that we think maybe just possibly something's going to happen, but a confident expectation. And so our plans, we can't have a confident expectation in. God's plans, we can. And so that's what we hope in. That's where we place our faith. So what are we confidently expecting to happen? Well, we're expecting that God will give the grace we need each day to serve him. He's promised that he would do so. We're expecting Christ to return for us someday. We're expecting to spend all eternity with Christ in heaven. We're expecting to worship Christ for all eternity. One critic of Christians says this, faith is illogical belief in the occurrence of the impossible. As believers, we understand that our faith is only as good as the object of our faith, and our object is God. And so as we study passages, even like Psalm 89, and we see what God is like, then we can have great faith ourselves because it's placed in God. Faith is the total response to what God has revealed in his word. And so we look at his word and we see how he has revealed himself to us, and then we respond in faith. Then we see the second part of verse 1 and verse 2. We can be confident in the present, right now, not just what's going to happen, but what is happening right now. Our faith should help us face the unknown. Without faith in God, we can have no confidence of what is happening. That word conviction can be translated as evidence or proof. It speaks of an inward conviction from God that he will keep his promises. Faith gives us that evidence that we need when it comes to the things that we do not know about. So think about, in this present life, are there things we do not know about? Unfortunately, there are, huh? There's a lot of things we want to know about, and we don't. We do not know what's going to happen tomorrow. We do not know what's going to happen with our family members, our children, our aunts, uncles, parents. We don't know what God is going to do in their lives. We do not know if we'll lose a close friend or family member. We don't know what financial situation we'll find ourselves in. We don't know if we're going to lose everything we have to some type of disaster. There are so many things that we do not know about. And if we think about them, we'll only put ourselves into a bad place spiritually. Faith gives us the proof that we need to continue to take God at His word, regardless of what might come into our life. We don't know those things, but we know who God is. And so that's where our faith is placed. Our faith, then, we see verse 2, should be evident to those around us. There should be an evidence that comes forth. It's by faith that men of old lived. These men are the Old Testament saints that the author is going to describe really throughout the rest of the chapter. There are many men and women mentioned throughout this chapter. Many will consider this chapter to be the hall of faith. We're seeing ones that lived out their faith in front of others. It is by faith that the men of old showed their testimony. The author says that the men of old gained approval. This word occurs twice in verse 4, once in verse 5, and once in verse 39. So what is this approval? It is divine approval on their lives. By faith, these individuals lived each day and God approved of their lives. They evidenced a confidence in God and His promises and lived in such a way that they knew God would do what He said He would do. How many of those individuals, while they were walking this earth and living by faith, were ridiculed for their belief in the unseen? I'd say probably most of them. We'd have to go and do a more in-depth study, but I'd say most of them were ridiculed constantly for their walk of faith. They couldn't see it, but yet they lived it out. J. Oswald Sanders said this, "Faith enables the believing soul to treat the future as present and the invisible as seen." I'll say that one more time. Faith enables the believing soul to treat the future as present and the invisible as seen. Then we see verse 3, we can be confident about the past. Confident in a sense about what is written in God's word. We can trust what we find there. Our faith should be based on what we know of God. Much of what we believe, we have to accept by faith. We were not around during the week of creation, so we did not see firsthand that take place. Thomas was not around during the first time that Christ revealed Himself to the disciples. As a result, and we talked about this a little bit this morning, Thomas was not willing to believe that Jesus had risen from the dead because he's saying, I want to see for myself. He wanted to see with his own eyes. When Thomas did see Jesus and exclaim, my Lord and my God, Jesus said that those who believe without seeing are blessed. We're asked to believe without seeing, and that is by faith. And so God is asking us to live this way, to live without seeing. Of course, we know Him through the Word, but we don't necessarily see Him. There's things that have happened. We haven't been those firsthand ones like John talks about in 1 John, where he was able to see and touch and experience Jesus Christ. We haven't had that same type of experience. We accept the creation account because it's found in the Bible. The Bible is the Word of God, and so we accept it because it's found there, not because we saw it firsthand. Without our trusting and having faith in the written word, it's impossible to trust the claims of Scripture. We have to trust that this is God's word, that it's given to us so we understand how to please Him. And so we see in Scripture, all things were created by God out of nothing. God spoke everything into existence. We see Genesis 1:1, in the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. Our faith should not be in what man can do. We can see and enjoy creation for ourselves. This is referring to all that God created for our pleasure to enjoy. Creation has not been made by the hands of man. The author is saying that creation has not been made by those who have been created themselves, but God is the one that has created everything. the best way to grow in faith is to walk with the faithful. And so the rest of the chapter will give examples of those who have walked by faith. And so we learn from their example. Faith is not believing that God can, but that God will. And there's a difference there. It's not believing that God can do something, but that he will do something. That confidence in him. Faith is idle when circumstances are right. When everything is going fine, we really don't need to live by faith because everything is going smoothly. We can say, I can trust in myself. Only when things get really upside down, when circumstances are adverse, that's when one's faith in God is really exercised. Faith, like muscle, grows strong and supple with exercise. And so probably most of us, we would say, I don't want my faith stretched. But God says, that's what you need. That is what's going to make you better, useful for his glory. And so we're going to start here then in verse 4, and we see the first example. We see by faith we can have a testimony for God. And so this is found, if you wanted the backstory of Cain and Abel, it's Genesis chapter 4, verses 1 through 10. Feel free to read that later on, but we see that explained here by the writer of Hebrews. We see, first of all, the first part of verse 4, faithfulness will result in fruitfulness for him. Abel offered to God what would be acceptable to God. We need to have a proper view of God through reading his word. If we don't know what God is like, and we don't know what pleases him, we have absolutely no hope of being able to live a life that's going to please him. We have to read it in his word. Unfortunately, there are many authors out there that try to tell us ways in which we can please God, but they're not based in God's word. That's how we find out how we please God. Why was it that Abel's sacrifice was better than Cain's? Well, God had revealed it to Adam and Eve, the type of sacrifice that was acceptable to God. When Adam and Eve sinned, they understood their sinfulness. They understood that they were wicked. They even tried hiding themselves. They tried covering themselves up so God would not notice them. And we look at that and we say, that's ridiculous. How would God not notice them? Yet we tend to do the same thing. We think we can hide in some way and God won't notice us. But God knows everything. And there is no way that they could hide from him. God made a covering from the skins of animals. God made a way for them to be covered. But it was only a picture of what he would eventually do through Christ to take away the sins, those sins away totally. It was just a picture. Adam and Eve saw firsthand that their sin required a blood sacrifice. God had taught Adam and Eve that he expected of them was an animal sacrifice, and Abel followed those instructions while Cain did not. Abel had a good testimony before others because he pleased God. He did not go to God with his offering, giving to God what he wanted to offer. He gave to God what he knew would be acceptable to God. For Abel, his living by faith and worshiping God with an acceptable sacrifice cost him his life. Unfortunately, living by faith, although acceptable to God, is not always received well by those around us. It could actually be very detrimental to our physical well-being. 1 John 3:12, we see it says this, "We should not be like Cain, who was of the evil one and murdered his brother. And why did he murder him? Because his own deeds were evil and his brother's righteous." It was a conviction to him because he realized his own deeds were the problem. And so therefore he murders his brother. And then the second part of verse 4, we see faithfulness will result in a continued testimony. Unless the Lord returns, we're all going to face death. There's nothing that we can do to avoid it. We can try all we want, but we're not going to avoid it. And I might just add this little illustration I heard years ago. We have a date for our birth, and all of us, I think, would probably know that. We don't know the date for our death yet, but in between there's a dash. What does your dash look like? What does your dash look like? That's kind of the description of our life. Is it one that we're walking by faith? Even if Cain did not take Abel's life, Abel would have eventually died and passed into eternity. It was not because of his death or how he died that God considered him righteous. It was because of his life of faith. And so that's something I think to keep in mind. Maybe we look at the account of Cain and Abel and we lift up Abel just because his brother murdered him. Well, no, it's because he was faithful in giving the sacrifice that God wanted. The testimony of Abel still speaks to us today. I doubt that there's any child in our church or in most churches that has not heard the story either in Sunday school or children's church about Cain and Abel. It still speaks to all of us today. We all know that Abel offered to God an acceptable sacrifice. Although Abel was murdered by his brother, his testimony lives on. There are many that have given their life to living by faith and have lost their life as a result. An example, Polycarp, he was bishop of Smyrna, and he was a personal friend and pupil of John the Apostle John. When he was age 86, he was urged by the Roman proconsul to reproach Christ and be set free. Basically, renounce your belief in Jesus Christ and you'll be free. He says this, 86 years have I served him, and he never did any injury. How then can I blaspheme my King and my Savior? And the proconsul then said, I have respect for your age. Simply say, away with the atheist and be set free. Polycarp solemnly said, away with the atheist, pointing to the pagan crowd. He joyfully went to the stake, thanking God for counting him worthy to be numbered among the martyrs. We see of so many throughout history that gave their life for the cause of Christ. They said, God has never forsaken me. God has never shown himself to be unfaithful to me. Therefore, I will never show myself to be unfaithful to him. And then we see verse 5, by faith we can be active for God. This is the account of Enoch, and this is found in Genesis chapter 5, verses 18 through 24. We see faithfulness will be accepted by God. Faithfulness is accepted by God. It was because of his faith in God that he did not face death. Enoch is one who was able to experience something most of us can only dream about, and we long to possibly be like Enoch. He did not have to endure the problem of living in an aging body. He did not have to continue living in a wicked society. God saw his faith and decided that Enoch would not have to die, but that he could just go directly to heaven to be with God. And I'm sure all of us would say, you know, I love that idea. I just want to skip all that other stuff. I just want to be with Jesus. Some consider this to be a picture of what is described in 1 Thessalonians 4 at the rapture of the church, kind of giving us a picture of what it's going to be like. His body was not left behind for his family to bury. His family did not find his body and then realize that he had died. There was no sign of him, and they realized that because of his faith, God had taken him. Could you imagine what faith he had that his family would say, God just took him. I know it. I know that's the type of man that he was. That's an incredible amount of faith that he displayed in front of others. And so we see the second part of verse 5. Faithfulness will be apparent to others. It will be apparent to others. Those around Enoch all knew that he had a walk with God. They knew that his life was pleasing to God, that he was different than others around him. Now remember, Enoch was living shortly before the flood in which God destroyed the earth. Why? because of the great wickedness that was there. And so there were a lot of wicked people around him. But Enoch was living by faith. He was one that they did not just think he had a faith in God. They knew it. They were completely convinced of his walking with God. After the first two examples that the author gives us of the heroes of the faith, we see that despite great faith in God, we don't all face the same end to our life here on this earth. And that I think that's a something very showing as we see here. Abel was violently murdered by his brother. But Enoch simply was taken up to be with God. They both had lives of faith, but the outcome, in a sense, or the way they were taken to be with God was very different. And so we can all here that are here and on Zoom, we can all walk by faith, but we might not leave this earth all in the same way. Some, it might be wonderful. It might be peaceful. Others, it might not be so peaceful. It might be very painful, but that's not up to us. God is doing all that for a reason. Then we see verse 6, by faith we can be pleasing to God. That, I think, is the desire of all of us, to be pleasing to God. And so we do that by faith. Faith makes the impossible possible. At the first part of verse 6, service in our own strength will never honor God. We're never going to bring honor to God when we serve in our own strength. As believers, what do we have? We have the indwelling Holy Spirit. One of the marks of having the Holy Spirit is that we're displaying the fruit of the Spirit. In the list of the fruit of the Spirit, Paul says that it includes faithfulness. As a result of having the indwelling Holy Spirit, we will be living by faith. Of course, we can grow in that. We can improve by God's grace, but there's going to be a measure of faith that we're going to be living by. Our walking by faith will please God. There are many listed in this chapter that have lived lives that were pleasing to God, but it was not because of the things that they did, but the fact that they did them in faithful obedience to God. That is why. It's because they were being obedient to what God had done, what God had revealed to them, and they're saying, I'm going to live in obedience to him. And then we see the second part of verse 6. Faithfulness comes from a personal relationship with God. In chapter 10 and verse 22 of Hebrews, the author says this, let us draw near with a sincere heart in full assurance of faith. Now he's going to expand on that. We must believe that God is. You might ask, God is what? What's he getting at here? I would say God is everything. He's the only God to be worshipped despite all the false gods available. He is the source of all. He is the creator of the universe, and he is the one that sustains the universe. We must believe that God rewards those who come to him. Clearly, with Enoch, we would say that he walked by faith and he was rewarded by God as a result. As we look at some of the others in this chapter, we might have a hard time saying that they were rewarded for their faith, considering all that they had to endure because of their faith. It doesn't sound very good. One towards the end, and it's considered to be the prophet Isaiah, that he was sawn in two. That doesn't sound like a reward, does it? But he lived by faith. It'd probably be helpful for us to consider what God told Abraham in Genesis 15:1. After these things, the word of the Lord came to Abram in a vision, saying, do not fear, Abram. I am a shield to you. Your reward shall be very great. As we walk by faith, we need to be doing so with the goal in mind that God is our great reward. He is our reward. There's nothing else other than God. That is our reward. This reward is reserved for those who diligently seek after God. There is no promise of the reward of God for those who have no desire to seek after him. And then we see in verse 7, by faith we can have respect for God. We can have respect for God. And this account is a very, very short summary of Genesis 6 through 8. Of course, the account of Noah and building the ark and taking the animals and his family in with him. We see the first part of verse 7, we can be faithful regardless of others. God told Noah of what was to come. At this point in history, no one had ever seen rain. To be told that there was going to be a flood that was going to come on the earth was inconceivable to man. This made no sense to them. Noah stepped out in faith, believing that God said what he said, despite not having any type of precedent for the facts of what God was saying. I would say maybe to some extent, that's the book of Revelation for us. We're like, I don't see necessarily how all this is going to work out, but God says it will. What if someone told you that the earth was going to be destroyed by aliens? You'd probably think, you know, that's pretty hard to believe. Except for maybe this year. Maybe in 2020, it was okay, anything can happen, right? But typically, we'd say, there's no way. That's not going to happen. That makes no sense. I think the same thing was for Noah, for him to be told that it's going to rain and the whole earth is going to flood. He's going to say, what do you mean? I don't get it. I don't understand. He didn't really respond that way. He said, whatever you say, Lord, I'll believe you. The fact that God told Noah that he was going to destroy the earth by a flood was just as foreign concept to him as aliens would be to us. And so Noah responded to what God said. There was action on Noah's part as a result of what God said. And that action took quite a bit of time. Oftentimes we look at the account of Noah and we think, well, you know, he built that ark. Yeah, it took a little time because it was big, but you know what, a couple weeks and it was done? No, year after year after year after year. And I think that shows of God's patience as well. Because he warned that he was going to destroy everything. He allowed people to respond. Still Noah responded, but he didn't do it immediately. And I've shared with people some as they've looked at Revelation and what's going on right now. Remember Noah. Even though God said he was going to destroy things, it took many, many years until that all came about. What was Noah doing during that time? He was being faithful. He was being faithful to what God had told him, even though he couldn't necessarily see it and understand it all. He was doing what God told him to do. He wanted to obediently respond to God. And then the second part of verse 7, we see we can be faithful reflecting God's grace. Noah prepared an ark to the stipulations that God gave. Noah's building the ark provided a way of escape for his family from the flood that was to come. This is a picture of what Christ was going to do for all humanity by providing salvation. God, through the ark that Noah built, provided salvation from the flood for Noah and his family. Noah's righteousness, by comparison, revealed others' unrighteousness. The faith of Noah revealed the lack of faith on the part of others. Man would not have noticed their own lack of faith if it wasn't that Noah had an exemplary life living by faith. The events of Noah followed God's instructions of building an ark and trusting that God would do what he said proved that Noah was a righteous man that was living by faith. So I invite you to read through and consider some of these others. Even go back, read Psalm 89, considering God's faithfulness. We see faithfulness coming up all throughout Scripture. And even throughout history, we see men and women of faith. One example, on July 1st, 1555, John Bradford was burned to death. He was chaplain to King Edward VI of England and was one of the most popular preachers of his day. but he was a martyr for his faith. As he was being driven out to Newgate to be burned, permission was given him to speak. And from the wagon in which he rode to his death, the entire way out from West London to Newgate, he shouted, "Christ, Christ, none but Christ." Could you imagine having that type of faith even when you know you're going to be burned at the stake? I can remember one of my history teachers in college. He had taught history for decades, and he was in some of the movie productions that the university did, and he was I don't know if he was necessarily John Bradford, but some of these types of men that were burnt at the stake. And as he is just going through that scene, being tied to the stake, and people yelling out, and he said, you know, that was a really scary thing. Even though he knew they were all actors, it was still really scary to be in that type of position. Imagine what God can do through somebody who says, I'm going to step out in faith. I'm going to do what God has called me to do. I'm going to be obedient to him, and I'm going to trust him for the grace that I need. Just in closing, maybe some questions to just kind of consider in your own heart, maybe reflect on them throughout the week. Are you confident in God? Are you confident that what he has said in his word is true? It's revealed who he is. Are you confident going out of this place in God? Not in yourself, not in what you can do, but in what he can do. Second question, do you have a testimony for God? Do your coworkers, your neighbors, your friends, your family members, do they say, look at that person, they have a faith in God? Is it evident to those around you? A third question, are you active for God? Is there some level of activity going on in your life that you're serving God? Are you being active? A fourth question, is your life pleasing to God? That's one, I don't know how to answer it necessarily. You would say, I hope so. But obviously, God would be the judge of that. And you would have to know in your own heart, as God reveals to you areas in which you're not pleasing. But hopefully you can say, yes, the best of my knowledge, by God's grace, my life is pleasing to him. And one final question, are you walking by faith? Just consider some of these men and women as they walked by faith. They didn't know what was in front of them. They didn't know what was going to happen. Sometimes they knew what was going to happen. It wasn't going to be pleasant. But they said, God, I'm going to be obedient because that's what you've called me to do. Men and women that walk by faith. I would hope and trust that we can be that way. Let's pray. Lord, we do thank you that you give grace each and every day. Lord, we are so weak. We so often look to our own strength, our own energy to do anything, whether it's service for ourselves or service for you. We are selfish. We think of only ourselves. But Lord, we ask that you might help us to live in obedience to your word. We thank you that you have revealed yourself to us in your word, that we have seen throughout your word and throughout our own lives your faithfulness to us. And Lord, you have given us the indwelling Holy Spirit that is working out in us faithfulness. And Lord, we ask that that faithfulness would be apparent to those around us, that it would be an active faith, and that others would see it, and that they might question us as to where it comes from, and that we can reveal that it's a gift from you because of a gift that you gave in your Son, Jesus Christ. Lord, we thank you for what you'll do in our lives through this time in your word and in our lives this week as we step out and walk by faith. It's in Christ's name we pray. Amen.